tonight, we're looking in the book of John. We're looking at, this is the first in the series? Yeah. Of kind of Jesus' I am statements. And tonight we're looking at Jesus' declaration that he says, I am the bread of life. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 6 and the passage beginning at verse 25 I'm going to read from. If you've got your devices, if you want a Bible, then do this. Nothing will happen. It will just look quite fun. Sam will bring a Bible around to you if you've got that. Just to give you some context to this passage in the Bible, crowds are starting to gather around Jesus because he's been doing lots of things that have attracted people. He's been healing the sick, and then he's fed the 5,000, you know, from the loaves and the fishes that the boy bought. And then the people try and, want to make him Jesus king because he's doing all these things. And they think, wow, he's going to do some stuff. He could be a great leader for us. And then Jesus withdraws to the mountain side, and the disciples get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. And that's when they're out on the boat, and there's a storm, and Jesus appears to them and gets in the boat. And in this account in John's Gospel, they immediately get to the other side of the lake. And obviously, people that were over there, some of them have got boats back, and other people didn't go. They would kind of just waited, and you've seen the passage we read. They're like, how did Jesus get here so quickly? But he doesn't tell them, because otherwise they'd be like, yes, he's definitely going to be the person we want to make king and overthrow these Roman oppressors. And that's kind of where we're going to pick up the story. Oh, it does tip. I was waiting for that. That's much better. So in verse 25 of John chapter 6, when they found him on the other side of the lake, that's Jesus, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. That was when Jesus fed the 5,000. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous signs then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him at the last day. Let's pray. Lord, as I pray, as we look at your words tonight, that we would see you more clearly. And as a result, we would worship you with all our lives. Amen. You see, in here, the people that were following Jesus had been fed. But then they were hungry again. And they were still looking for Jesus to fulfill that appetite that sustained them for a little bit, but then come back. I wonder, as we think tonight about Jesus filling our emptiness, are we hungry? Are we running on empty? If you're a parent here, you'll know that often children say things like, I'm still hungry. My son said that to me yesterday. And I said to him, all I've done today is just feed you. I can just list, I've just fed you, and then I fed you another thing, another thing, another thing, and you're still hungry. Or if you are Sam or a parent, you might get to 8:17 and go, is it lunch yet? Have you ever had that? Is it lunch yet? I'm like, you just had breakfast. The sun isn't even up. How can it even be lunchtime yet? Well, sometimes, not necessarily food, but we kind of have a level of kind of satisfaction or achievement that kind of fulfills us in the short term. Maybe we're working towards a goal. Maybe it's an exam and we've done it and you get, or maybe it's a wedding and you work towards it and it happens and then there's the level of emptiness. I was reading about Alistair Brownlee recently. He's got a brother called Jonathan, and they're both really good triathletes, and he won gold at the London 2012 Olympics, a home Olympics. You know, he'd been world champion, junior world champion. He's worked really towards this goal most of their life, and he described his feeling when he stood on the podium. And this wasn't even kind of a day after, or a week after, or a year after, or even when he was old. It was as he was standing on the podium, he just felt a sense of emptiness and thought, is this it? There was the kind of the euphoria of the moment and the exhaustion. And then even in that moment, he still felt empty. And sometimes we can very tangibly feel that, even though maybe things have gone right and we've achieved something, this level of kind of emptiness. Well, the people that were following Jesus at the time thought that by coming back to Jesus, then he could keep on fulfilling all their physical needs. The needs that they thought they needed. For example, they wanted to oppress, they wanted to overthrow the Roman rulers. And they thought, this guy, he's got the power and authority to do that. He gives us food as well. He can cross lakes really quickly. He can help us with our fishing. He can calm storms so we can kind of keep everything under control and order. We want to keep close to this guy because he kind of sustains us and looks after our needs. But they were looking in the wrong, they were looking at their immediate needs. I just want to kind of point at something for a moment, that sometimes, even as Christians, we might pursue Jesus because we think he can fulfill our needs. Maybe we come and pray because we think, well, actually, oh, God can help me solve this problem. God's on my side. And I know what I need, and he can help me in my need. But the Bible says that God knows our needs, that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And we come often with our needs, or what we think are our needs. And as in this passage, he turns it around and says, no, this is your needs. This is your greatest needs. The disciples, when they were, just before this passage, they were out in the middle of the boat and said it was a strong wind. They were 3.5 miles out from shore, which I imagine is quite a scary place. And they might have listed all the things they needed at that time, like a motor that wasn't invented yet, but that would have been helpful. Or, you know, just being slightly close to the shore. But what they really needed was what Jesus gave them, and that was his presence. He gave them his presence, and all was calm. And maybe us as followers of Jesus, some of us, we actually are looking for our needs to be met, and actually what we need is the presence of God more fully in our life. Let our satisfaction be found in him. Otherwise, we'll always be empty. And secondly, we're going to think about fixing our eyes on eternity. Let's read verse 27 of chapter 6. It says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. The crowd, like us, often fix our things on temporary needs. And our answer to our needs is often work, isn't it? I don't know, you know, when Jesus said, okay, what you have to labor for, you have to work for, probably the crowd thought, okay, yeah, this is something we can achieve. We want this kind of bread that doesn't spoil. We've got to work for it. I mean, when you go to parents' evenings, what are some of the things your teachers say to you that you need to do? to get the things that you want to get? What are some of the comments they make to you? What's the advice they give you? And the parents go, listen to them. Listen. Are you listening? Don't wave at your friend over there. Off your phone. Get off your phone. Listen. Your teacher is... Listen. Yeah. What are some of the things they say? Who's been to parents' evening? Who's had a parents' evening? What's some of the things they say? What's that? You don't go. Can you bring him next time, is what they say. I want to speak to your child. So they say things like, spend time. You should spend time doing this, or you should practice doing this, or you work a little bit harder on that. Or, I would say, sit down and stop shouting, Zach. Or if you're not at school, then perhaps, you know, we're told to work hard, aren't we? Work hard and then enjoy your retirement. Or work hard and then you'll learn this musical instrument. Or work hard and you might get promotion. Or whatever it might be, then actually work almost comes into it. And what that kind of fools us into is thinking, actually, we can fulfill all our needs if we do enough. If we do enough stuff. And actually that it's down to us. And what Jesus often says is something quite populist like that. They go, yeah, you need to work for this thing. And then he twists it around and says, no, you don't. It's not about working. He turns the tables. Let's have a look at verse 28. Then they ask him, Jesus, what must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who sent. Sorry, to believe in the one he has sent. So the work of God is that you believe in the one who sent me. Me, Jesus. They were working and working really hard. They were going across lakes. They were walking over mountains to seek him because he was useful to them. And we seek all sorts of things because they have short-term use to us, don't they? We think we seek things like success. If I do well in this, then actually that'll be good for me and that'll fulfill my need. If I get enough money, just enough money, then actually I'll be okay. Or if I'm too unfit, if I get a bit fitter, then actually that will fill my emptiness. I will feel more smug. I mean, I'll feel less tired. If I have a bathroom that's a little bit like more like this bathroom that someone else has got that has a power shower, then actually that will fulfill my emptiness. Or whatever it might be. And it might even be a good thing. It might even be a position of leadership or serve. If I serve a little bit harder or people, maybe I'm a more respectable Christian in society, then actually that will fulfill my need. And essentially, Jesus says, you seek me looking for bread. You're working so hard for these things, but they're leaving you empty. And sometimes it's a bit like this, is that Jesus is the sun, like the radiant sun, like the real sun. And his miracles are shining a beam from the sun. And everyone's looking at the beam, going, wow, look at the beam. Look at the beam of sunlight. Look at that. He can feed us. Look at that. He can heal the sick. And the sun's there, all glorious. And everyone, oh, there's another shaft of light over here. Look at that. Look what God's given me. He's given me this opportunity. I'm going to worship this opportunity. Oh, he's given me a relationship. I'm going to worship that relationship. Oh, look, he's given me success. I'm going to worship success. And all the time the sun's shining and everyone's just chasing around looking at all that. Look at my beautiful face. I will worship my beautiful face and look after my beautiful face. And what this passage really is saying is work for what endures. And this work that we see here is in verse 29 is actually to stop working. And to start trusting. Not worshipping the sunbeam, but worshipping the sun. John Piper says, working for Jesus doesn't make him precious for you, but seeing Jesus makes him precious to you. It's not about the stuff. It's about Jesus. So, okay, the crowd say, It's about, you said it's about faith in Jesus, it's about trusting the crowd. So what do they say? They say, yeah, but can you show us a miracle? That's what they say next. But can you just show us like another miracle? How about some more bread? And even those of us who maybe been following Jesus for a long time, we know we have our focus on Jesus, understand who he is. And then actually we say, yeah, but how about some more of this blessing over here? Or how about more of this? They say, can we have like, well, Moses, he got manna. This food that was given to them, this heavenly food that lasted a day and would spoil. And then Jesus comes back, says 32, I tell you the truth, this bread didn't come from Moses, it came from me. And then he says, verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Oh yeah, that bread, that's the bread we want. That really good bread, the bread that doesn't spoil, not manna, because that spoils. We want the really good bread. And this is where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never go thirsty. And often we know that, don't we? We know that actually Jesus is the source of our true satisfaction. We know that, but sometimes we struggle to trust him in every part of our life. Yesterday, I said to my daughter, would you like eggs on toast? And she said to me, we haven't got any bread. I said, that's not the question. I said, would you like eggs on toast? We haven't got any bread. So I'm not going to go back there. Yes, we have. We haven't got any bread. We've got bread. And then she pulled the big gun out. Mummy says, we haven't got any bread. And I looked her in the eyes and I said, daughter, do you trust me? She went, no. She didn't know I'd been to the shops. And really, Jesus is saying here to this crowd and to us, do you trust me? I am the bread of life. I will. If you come to me, you will not go hungry. You will not go thirsty. I am the source of your satisfaction. And he's saying, do you trust me? And when he says, I am the bread of life, he's expressing some beautiful things. He's saying, I'm essential. You know, the Bible talks about lots of things that we are when we're not in Jesus. We're like a dead branch, like a lost sheep. We're in darkness. We're like a plant without roots. Jesus is essential to us and our eternity. And without him, we are lost, utterly lost without Jesus. He is eternal. He won't just sustain us today, but he will bring us to eternal life. And as you know, this is very, it's tangible, you know, particularly when you experience loss, isn't it? And you face loss. When people die, it brings into perspective the fact that actually our hope isn't about getting through tomorrow and just about getting right. Our hope is actually in an assured, glorious future. Jesus essentially is saying here, I am God. You know, the same I am that met Moses in the burning bush. Stop searching. And he says, I am inviting you. Look with me at verse 35. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me. He's saying, don't chase after things which will ruin or fail, but follow me. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Put your faith in Jesus, because he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. And nothing else will. And no one else will. And finally, well, this is all about really, is that he will satisfy our greatest need. And what is our greatest need? It's kind of said there in verse 35. Our thirst and hunger for being right with God. That's what we need to be. We need to be right with God. And Jesus satisfies this. It's the Beatitudes, isn't it? Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you will be satisfied by trusting in Jesus. In verse 40 here, it says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him shall have eternal life. The Father, as it says before, I think has put his seal on Jesus. Jesus was sent to live a perfect life. He was sent to the cross to die, to bear our sins. He was raised back to life to defeat death. And it says here, he's coming back again to raise us to eternal life. He, Jesus, the bread of life, will fill our emptiness. If we trust in him. More than anything else, that we would worship the sun, not chase around after the sunbeams. And so we're going to, as the band come up, I just want us to think about some things in response to this. Just bow your heads, you might find it helpful. Now, all this story here is about people seeking Jesus. And Lord, we just want to say, we want to seek you with all our hearts. We want to know you for who you really are. We want to be filled by trusting our whole lives into your hands. We come with our emptiness. Lord, thank you for that great exchange where we come with our dirty rags of sin and you give us the righteousness that comes from God because of Jesus. Our emptiness for your fullness. You might find out it was just to kind of think about your hands, all those things that you're seeking after that isn't Jesus. All those things where you're finding, you're trying to seek fulfillment. And maybe we know it and maybe we don't know it, because maybe life has just become a clouded over with seeking after those things that we think might give us fulfillment. Maybe just open up those hands and turn them over and just surrender them and say, help me, Jesus, to fix my eyes on you. Let me find my satisfaction in you. And when Jesus declared to the people that he was the bread of life, their response was to grumble. And they saw him as Mary and Joseph's boy. Lord, help us not to miss Jesus tonight. Lord, for those of us that don't know you, I pray that we would come to you and believe in you and taste and see that you are good. Lord, thank you for your promise of eternal life for those who put their trust in you. And I pray that even now as we come and sing you praise and spend some time just pouring our hearts out to you, that you would be present with us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.